Okay, so I'm really excited about tonight. I'm almost not doing the sermon. No, that's not why I'm excited. I'm not doing the sermon. We are going to be having three of our own. They're going to be sharing with you today. So this month, what we're focusing on is the prophetic and the prophetic in its relation to how we worship God. And the prophetic is an amazing thing because the prophetic has the power to transform life. How many of you know that a prophetic word has the ability to change and transform somebody's life forever? Do you guys know that? Okay. And then, of course, the next question is, okay, Luke, that sounds great. What is a prophetic word? Okay. And in a nutshell, okay, a prophetic word is not telling somebody what is wrong with their lives. It doesn't take a spirit-filled, believing Christian to tell you what's wrong with the world and with your life. And if you don't understand that, then you can go open any blog or Twitter sphere or Facebook post and go read the comments, and you'll find out that everybody knows what's wrong with the world. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. But it takes a spirit-filled, believing Christian to see a solution when everybody else sees a problem. And it takes a spirit-filled, believing Christian to see gold in somebody when everybody else says, "Hey, you're a loser." Yeah? And that is what the prophetic ultimately is. It's seeing with the eyes of God. And sometimes you see what other people cannot see. And you're saying, "Hey, Tracy, do you know that God has called you to worship in front of thousands?" You know? "Hey, Armand, you know that you are going to be serving the youth, the next generation. You're going to be a father to thousands." It's understanding that the way that we see and the way that God sees are sometimes two different things. And how do we choose to see? Do we choose to see the problems? Do we choose to see the issues? Do we choose to see that Jacob Zuma is our president? Or do we choose to see that God is the king of the universe? And when we compare him to any problem, there is no comparison. You understand what I'm saying? Something that was very cool at the last conference, a word that was brought to us was that of Moses and Joshua. And our church is going through our global church, not the local church, not Shofar George, but Shofar as a movement is going through a transition period. And somebody brought a prophetic word, you know, also when Israel changed leadership from Moses to Joshua. And it was quite significant for myself. And I read on to you from Joshua 1, and you get to the story of when Joshua sent out the spies to go check out what was going on in the land of milk and honey, so to speak. And the spies came back. And some of the spies, we read that they gave a bad report. And some of the spies gave a good report. And the question that I felt God asking me is, Luke, what report will you give? Okay? When you are faced with the promised land, what will you say about it? And it's interesting that the spies, when they went to go see the promised land, all of them saw the same things. All of them saw the high walls of Jericho, the giants, but they chose to report different things. So what informed what they reported? Ultimately, what informed what they reported is their belief and their faith in the promises of God. And that is a prophetic act, that either we choose to stand on the word of God and what he promises and what he sees, or we choose to stand on the promises of our offense and our fears. And it's a very simple decision. It's choose life or choose death at the end of the day. And something that somebody who informs faith, our helper, when Jesus left, he said, I'm not leaving you alone, I'm leaving you with our helper, the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask Kanye to come up. Kanye, our brother, Mr. Faithful, and he's going to share first tonight, and he's going to share with you a bit about the Holy Spirit. This is a man who has proven faithful in the small things. You give him a challenge and he takes it. He falls down 10 times. He gets it back up 11 times. And I'm very proud of him. So, brother, take it away.
Thank you, Luke. Hello, everyone. Yes, I'm Kanya. I first want to thank the Lord for this opportunity and, you know, being young and growing and all of that and having to speak to people. It's such a privilege to me, you know, young and old and all of that. And thank you for my leaders, you know, also for trusting me and having faith in me. So what I want to talk about today is, as I said, Holy Spirit. But my topic is keeping up with the Kardashians. No, keeping up with the Holy Spirit. yeah. So, why do we have to keep up with the Holy Spirit? You know. So this goes way, way back in the beginning. You know, even before everything was created, God was there. The three of the what do you call them? Godheads. Yeah, the Son, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit was roaming around the earth and everything. But now, to fast forward the story, you know, the Holy Spirit came now when Jesus Christ was crucified and he resurrected, which is a good thing. And he sent his Holy Spirit for us, which is amazing. So now, why do we need the Holy Spirit to begin with? You know, that's the question. You know, you can't take something that you don't know. Just like repenting, you can't repent of something that you don't know, you know. So we need the Holy Spirit. Firstly, the Lord gave us commandments, you know, the whole 10 commandments, and then they were kind of like summarized to 2 commandments, to love the Lord with everything and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then the Lord told us, you know, to make disciples and go to the nations and make other people to be like Jesus, you know, to follow everything, you know, to be witness in everything, you know. So here's the thing now. We as people, we as humans, you know, we have a problem of forgetting, you know. Why am I saying this? We have proof. Look at Israel, you know, the great nation. Israel was a great nation of God. God appeared in clouds and everything was visible for Israel, right? But the thing is, they were always seemingly to fall back to sin, you know, which was a sad thing, you know. Reading, as I read, you know, my forefathers, they were doing that. So sad for me, sad for God, sad for everyone, you know. But the Lord saw that this, you know, this is not going the right way, you know, because we keep on falling back to sin. I mean, like, they were sent through the Red Sea, you know, and a few days later when Moses went up the mountain to fetch the tablets, the 10 commandments, they were doing other things, you know, idolatry, you know, and stuff like that. So basically, we need the Holy Spirit to remind us, because Lord Jesus Christ said that he will remind you of the teachings that I taught you, which was to keep the commandments and to do as Christ did, right? So now, we have the Holy Spirit, right, upon us. And what are the other benefits that we have the Holy Spirit of, right, besides reminding us of the Holy Spirit, right? To go back a bit on the Israelites, you know, they were keep on sinning and all of that, right? But they needed as much as they needed God, but God gave them a prophet every time, prophet or a king and stuff like that. But nowadays, we don't have kings and prophets. You know, so what do we have now? We have the spirit of prophecy, which is amazing. The Lord keeps on getting better. You know, he sent his spirit So now basically, we are prophets because we have the spirit of prophecy, right? Not the prophet is in the office, but we are prophets because we can speak, we can hear from the Lord, and as Luke was saying, you know, declare the truth, you know. And one of the things that is amazing about the Holy Spirit is that, you know, the spoken truth, when you speak the truth, the Holy Spirit rides with those words. That scripture, you can find that, you know, an example of that in Acts 10:44, when Peter was in Joppa, on top of the roof, you know, he was praying then, and he fell into hunger, and then there was this vision of the sheet that was white, full of every kind of animal, and the Lord told him to eat three times. He was like, no, Lord, it's dirty and all of that. But then at the end, you know, just to get to this point, we see Peter, you know, meeting with the Gentile, right? Because they had that thing that the gospel is only for the Jews, right? So he meets up with Cornelius, right, which is a Gentile, which the Lord said they will meet together. And now he explains the vision, which is the truth. And what happens? The scripture tells us, as he was saying those things, the Spirit fell, which is amazing. You know, so this shows us that we have to be the people of truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. It's when we meet Jesus Christ, we are able to speak the truth, right? And the Holy Spirit is there to remind us of what Jesus taught us, which is the truth. So when we speak that truth, it's a cycle, you know. When you speak the truth, life gets released, you know. So that's another great thing. And another awesome thing about, awesome thing about the Holy Spirit is that he convicts us. Convicts us. You know, we really can't live without convictions, and you know, because as I said, we forget and all these things, you know, happen. And somehow also the enemy comes and lies to us, and we believe that lie, you know, and stuff like that. But the Holy Spirit, an example of that, of conviction, is Peter and Judas Iscariot. Both of them are the disciples of Jesus Christ, right? The 12. And now what happens is that Judas Iscariot is the one that betrayed Jesus. And Peter is the one that denied Jesus three times. And the funny thing is, he was told that you will deny me three times. Everything, the details was given, boom, in his face. But still, yet he did it. You know, which shows us that we really have a problem. You know, I don't know what's it we do, and I'm the worst of them. You know, I really forget. You know, so we really need the Holy Spirit. And now, if we check these two guys, right, the difference between the two is that Judas Iscariot went on and betrayed Jesus Christ and all of that, but he further went on. The story tells us that he went on, gave the money back to those guys who killed Jesus Christ and stuff like that. But it also tells us that he went on and hanged himself, right? Because of lack of conviction. Now look at Peter. What happened to Peter? Peter denied three times. He went on and it was sad and felt bad. I can feel for Peter. I know many times where I disappointed the Lord. Yeah, I know that pain. So he went on and sobbed and cried and, you know, denied himself, you know, not denied himself, but he did many other things, you know. So, but what happened to Peter? The thing is with Peter, although he knew that he did something wrong somehow, but later on, we see Peter becoming the head of the church, isn't it? Wow, what's different between these two people, you know? Besides the fact that Peter, from the beginning, he was chosen and all of that, but we also know that God, as much as he chooses us, as much as he you know, everything, he gives us our identity and purpose and all of that, He also gives us free will, right? So I can say that we can affect the course of life by our choices because we're given free will, right? And we see that now because there's violence and all of that. So Peter, as much as he was chosen, he could have went on and be like, whoa, and be like Judas Iscariot and hanged himself or went on, and because that's what sin does, or that's what self-guilt and all of these things does. They just bury you alive, you know, and just send you away into hell, you know. But Peter, there's something different about Peter. He was convicted by the truth to go back in line with the truth, you know. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because it's there to remind us of what is right and what is true, you know. And just a bit on that, you know, a couple of weeks, I've been also struggling with the enemy. You know, I was trying to lie to me, you know, tempting me, all of these things, you know what? And I have to say, I was so agreeing with the enemy. but somehow, I had this moment where I was like, you know, it's either I'm going to choose that or just somehow be bold and say I'm not, you know, and walk. It's so hard. I know it's so hard, but I did it, you know. And sometimes I don't feel it in my spirit that I'm so convicted by the Holy Spirit that I'm righteous, you know, all of these things. But I know I'm speaking the truth. And somehow the confidence is rising when you speak the truth, you know. There was another scripture that says that in Isaiah, the effect of righteousness I forgot, sorry. But it's lovely. Maybe I was not meant to say it. But yeah, in closing, we really need the Holy Spirit because we forget, we fall into sin, all these things happen. So we really need the Holy Spirit to remind us and to be like Peter's of this generation, you know, to have that boldness every time. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Isn't he looking good, eh? Yes, I'm feeling convicted. Okay. Never look that good, though. Okay. Our next guest speaker, all the way from the office across over there, Lizette Ace. She's gonna be bringing the word, as she's gonna be sharing a bit of her testimony more. Let's give her a round of applause.
I just want to make room. Yeah. Woohoo! Well done, Ludovic. I just did that. Okay. Yeah, before I start, I just want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are so good, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in this house, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, by your stripes, Lord, we are healed, Lord. Amen. Amen. That's a good one. So before I start officially or something like that, I would like to read us the prayer out of Matthew 6. My nose is a bit runny, I'm sorry. Okay. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So, I was never praying this prayer out fully. I was praying the whole thing except the part where, Lord, give us today our daily bread. I left that part like out of my prayer. And I was so satisfied with the crumbs that I taught my body how to be satisfied and how to be full by only eating the crumbs. So taking it way back, I was molested when I was 16. And from there on, things just went downhill. A lot of identity issues, a lot of guilt, a lot of shame, all of those stuff just crept in. But the Holy Spirit is so faithful. But just to share a bit more, I really felt I need to be really vulnerable. I'm sorry if I'm going to cry. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. So, as I'm standing like this, I remember standing in front of a pharmacy and standing in front of diet pills, like a lot of them. I knew them off by name. I knew how long they would take to work. I knew the strength of them. I knew everything about diet pills that you could know because I was not able to throw up. So that was my plan B, is to rather drink diet pills because I cannot throw up. Like, I can't make myself do that. So what happened is I would buy diet pills or laxatives or both of them, depending on how quickly I wanted to lose weight. I would do that, I would drink it, and then obviously with a lot of exercise, like exercising 4 to 5 hours a day, I was skinny, and I looked beautiful to the world, not to Jesus. Key part of this whole thing. So as I was drinking these pills, I did not know that I was denying the body of Christ. I think there's a part of me that always knew it, like when I was standing there before I bought the pills, or before I exercised excessively, I knew there was a part of me that was hungry for something else that was not just food. Because then obviously when I was eating less, I would then go on a binge, then I would buy more diet pills, and it was this vicious cycle that just kept on going. So that was really bad. And I just felt that there's a lot of people in this room that actually struggles with the same thing that I went through. There's a lot of young girls that you think that you are not made in the image of Jesus Christ. And that's a lie. That is such a big lie. And you are so satisfied with only eating the crumbs that the devil is feeding you instead of praying your whole prayer and praying for your daily bread. I'm not saying eat the bread and then eat 50 other chocolates afterwards. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Scripture is saying. It's going into a healthy relationship with Jesus. Because during this whole thing, I was never in a healthy relationship with Jesus. It was up and down like my relationship with food went. I was never fully fed with Jesus. The only time that I was fully fed with Jesus is when he came to me, like the words it says in Isaiah 44, verse 20. Just want to get it here. Yeah. Remember these things earnestly, O Jacob, O Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You shall not be forgotten by me. This is what the Lord said to me. I've blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And then the very last verse of Isaiah 44, it says, verse 28, "He is my shepherd, my ruler, and he shall perform all my pleasure and fulfill all my purpose." Even saying of Jerusalem, "She shall again be built, and of the temple, your foundation shall again be laid." So he called me back. He told me that he will rebuild my whole body. And he did. He rebuilt my whole body, not for the pleasure of the world, but for the purpose of Jesus Christ. So it's your choice if you're going to stand up, say no to a certain things, and choose Jesus, and choose to believe that he made you the way that you are. So please don't be satisfied with only eating the crumbs of the world and measuring how worthy you are with what the world says is worth. Because that's worthless to Jesus, to be quite frank. Okay. Amen. I just wanna pray a closing prayer. Yes, Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you hear us, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that you are healing right now, Lord. Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you will come and minister to every heart, Lord, that needs your healing, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll come and restore worth right now. Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you'll come and show them, Lord, where you were, Lord. Every time they felt unworthy, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lizette, and thanks for sharing and being vulnerable with. She's quite cool to work with, I must say. A lot better than Armel. Yeah. Sorry, something's stuck in my throat. Next guest speaker, Armand, please come forward. Let's give this man a round of applause. Can I just say that this is one of the most purest guys I've ever met. There's something about a purity of faith. And I can say that when he opens his mouth, it would be wise of you to listen. And he's going to share on... Yodia thinks otherwise. She agrees, okay. She's laughing in agreement. but he's going to share a bit with us on light. I'm excited.
Amen. Church. Cool. So I was just thinking while we were worshiping, you know, for his is the kingdom, the power and the glory and the honor. Everything belongs to him. The reason you are seated in these pews is because of Jesus Christ, because of the testimony of the word of the Spirit of God that's being witnessed across the globe and in South Africa. You are a part of this. And first I want to honor the believers by just saying thank you for running the race. God loves you. And God sees every struggle that you're going through. The Spirit of God knows you. Amen. So I was just trying to figure out something that I'd share. And obviously we pray and ask God for a message that we might share the Word of God. It doesn't profit me if I bring a nice message, but the Spirit of God doesn't lift you up, or you do not find or hear the will of God for your life and for all the people of South Africa mainly. Let's try and focus on that. Amen. So I just heard the Spirit of God speaking to me concerning light. And it's something that I can witness off of my personal testimony. So I'm just going to read a few things. And sorry if I read quite a lot. I need to read the scriptures so it's exactly as it is in the Word of God. And so that you can hear that. Amen. So Jesus Christ. Got that wrong. I have come to bear witness of the light. Growing up in my innocence as a child, I was compelled by my human nature to find pleasure in a world of wrongdoing. I wasn't aware of my condition or the blindness of my heart. Everything was the other way around in my world at that stage. what the world presents us seems to be life, but this was my deception. It was the blind leading the blind, not knowing where they are going. Isaiah 5 verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." You see, darkness filled my life since I was born. Demonic interference withheld me from the life and tried to keep me from finding the light. Proverbs 4 verse 19, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." I was lost. I was so deep in my sin, I couldn't see the light of life. John 3 verse 19 to 21, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest. But grace allowed me to attend a meeting filled with this specific light, a church meeting where Christian believers worshiped God with all of who they were. Jesus says in Matthew 18:20, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." And as I took part of this message, of that specific meeting, I never knew the word of God says, "Where there's two or three gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." I want to declare to you that Jesus Christ is in this place. He's in this atmosphere. And this is the reason that we are in the church and that we are the church of God. Amen. Amen. So the atmosphere was filled with a life. And in worship, I was presented with life. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Son of the living God. Psalms 36 verse 9, David says, "In thy light we shall see light." It is in his light that we can see. It is when our eyes open. So when listening to the preacher, my heart was suddenly filled with conviction. And this light, which my heart couldn't comprehend, overcame the darkness inside of my heart. Jesus himself speaking in John 8 verse 13, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Freedom came as my eyes had opened, accepting my experience with the Son of God to be the greatest event of my life to this day. Salvation came as I accepted. It was God himself who called me from darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. Colossians 1 verse 13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ the righteous." I am a free man today. No one can separate me from the love of God. Psalms 119 says, "The word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. I am not in darkness that I do not know where I'm going. I have the word of God who guides me. He is the Lord. He is my strength, my refuge in whom I trust." Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 14. This sums up the word that I'm sharing with you concerning light. "If you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord, walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is a shameful thing to even speak of those, the things done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light of God. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, and arise from the grave, from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. My declaration to you is that Jesus Christ is the light of life, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. Yeah, so basically that's the heart, and that's my experience of witnessing my faith in Jesus Christ, because I have met the Lord personally. You cannot be the same person when the Spirit of God awakens your heart. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and when we come together to fellowship, the blood of Jesus Christ washes us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When we come into fellowship, we partake of the light of God. The devil is not allowed in the church, neither does he have authority over the church, but Jesus Christ has the authority over the church. You are the believers. You have the authority given by Jesus Christ himself, because the word of the Lord says we do everything. All that we do in the name of Jesus Christ, giving glory to who? The Father, honoring the Father. When you walk out in faith, when you do the acts of kindness, being meek and serving God and the church and the people of your country, that means you are honoring God the Father. We are living the word. It is a reality. It is the truth. And the truth will set you free. Partake of the word of God, and God will rise you from the dead. As the scripture it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. The word of God is within you. It is on your in your mouth. Whatever you confess, you shall have. Speak life. Speak the blessing. Speak the light of God. Remain in him, and he will remain in you to bear fruit and to be something for your community, for your people, for your families, for South Africa. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So, I did warn you. I want to start off with that. I want to read you a scripture. If you can, if you've got your Bible, you can go to James 1. James. Oh, wait, hang on. Technology. James 1, verse 17 and 18. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I think the heart of tonight is understanding that God has brought you to a place and he's equipped you. He has made you in his image to do every good work. And you have the ability to not only to receive truth tonight, but you have the ability to give truth through the power of the Holy Spirit. I just want you to think about that. I just want you to think about that for a moment. In a world that is so confused about what truth is, God has given you an ability to give truth. That truth being Jesus Christ. And that is an amazing power. That is an amazing gift. I want to end off with a question, you know, that Kanya asked. And that is, what is the difference between Judas and Peter? You know, what is the difference between Judas and the rest of the disciples? And maybe the first thing you'd say is, well, Judas betrayed Jesus. But I'd remind you that Jesus died alone. They all betrayed him. They all forsook him. What is the difference between Judas and Peter? Peter went back to Jesus, because he knew who he was. He knew that he was a God that had made Peter in his own image, that he had equipped him for every good work. And when Judas came, when Peter came back to Jesus, he asked him three times. He said to him three times, you know, go shepherd my flock. Who am I? Go shepherd my flock. Go shepherd my flock. Take care of my flock. And Jesus spoke this prophecy over him. In the midst of Peter's failures, Jesus saw something different in Peter. He said, go shepherd my flock. Go take care of my flock. Let's all stand together.